Reading from the Krishna book. Let's see what chapter this is. Chapter 30, Krishna hiding from the gopis. And we'll read. Page 296. In this way, all the gopis were madly feeling the absence of Krishna. They inquired about him from the trees and plants. In some places they found the imprints of the marks of the soles of his feet, namely the flag, the lotus flower, the trident, the thunderbolt, etc. After seeing those footprints, they exclaimed, "Oh, here is the impression of the marks on the soles of Krishna's feet. All the marks, such as the flag, the lotus flower, the trident, and the thunderbolt, are distinctly visible here." They began to follow the footprints. And shortly they saw another set of footprints besides them, and immediately they became very sorry. "Dear friends, just see, whose are these other footprints? They are beside the footprints of the son of Maharaj Nanda. It is certainly Krishna passing through, resting his hand on some other gopi, exactly as an elephant goes side by side with his beloved mate. We must therefore understand that this particular gopi served Krishna with greater affectionate love than ourselves. Because of this, although he has left us, he cannot leave her company. He has taken her along with him. Dear friends, just imagine how the dust of this place is transcendentally glorious. The dust of the lotus feet of Krishna is worshipped even by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva and the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. But at the same time, we are very sorry that this particular gopi has gone along with Krishna. For she is sharing the nectar of Krishna's kisses and leaving us aside to lament. Oh, friends, just see. At this particular spot, we do not see the footprints of that gopi. It appears that because there were some pinpricks from dried grass, Krishna took Radharani on his shoulder. Oh, she is so dear to him. Krishna must have picked some flowers in this spot to satisfy Radharani, because here, where he stood erect to get the flowers from the high branches of the tree, we find only half the impression of his feet. Dear friends, just see how Krishna must have sat down here with Radharani and tried to set flowers in her hair. You can be certain that both of them sat together here. Krishna is self-sufficient. He has nothing to enjoy from any other source. Yet just to satisfy his devotee, he treated Radharani exactly as a lusty boy treats his girlfriend. Krishna is so kind that he always tolerates the disturbances created by his girlfriends. In this way, all the gopis pointed out the faults of the particular gopi who had been taken alone by Krishna. They said that this chief gopi, Radharani, must be very proud of her position, thinking herself the greatest of the gopis. Yet, how could Krishna take her away alone, leaving us all aside, unless she is extraordinarily qualified and beautiful? She must have taken Krishna into the deep forest and told him, "My dear Krishna, I am now very tired. I could not go any further. Please carry me wherever you like." When Krishna was spoken to in this way, he might have told Radharani, "All right, better get on my shoulder." but immediately Krishna must have disappeared. And now Radharani must be lamenting for him. My dear lover, my dearest, you are so fine and so powerful. Where have you gone? I am nothing but your most obedient maidservant. I am very much aggrieved. Please come and be with me again. Krishna, however, is not coming to her. He must be watching her from a distant place and enjoying her sorrow. All the gopis then went further and further into the forest searching out Krishna. When they learned that actually Radharani was left alone by Krishna, they became very sorry. This is the test of Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, they were a little envious that Krishna had taken Radharani alone, leaving aside all the other gopis. But as soon as they knew that Krishna had also left Radharani and that she was alone lamenting for him, they became more sympathetic to her. The gopis found Radharani and heard everything from her about how she misbehaved with Krishna and how she was proud and was insulted for her pride. And after hearing all this, they all became very sympathetic. Then all the gopis, including Radharani, proceeded further into the forest until they could no longer see the moonlight. When they saw that it was getting gradually darker, they stopped. Their mind and intelligence became absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. They all imitated the activities of Krishna and his speeches. Due to their heart and soul being completely given to Krishna, they began to chant his glories, completely forgetting their family interests. In this way, all the gopis returned to the bank of the Jamuna and assembled there. And expecting that Krishna must return to them, they simply engaged in chanting the glories of Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 30th chapter of Krishna, entitled Krishna is hiding from the gopis. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Taksurun Mulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati sapadantikam adadanastanam dante idamyache puna puna shrimad rupa padam boja dulisham janma janmani vairagya yug bhakti rasam payatnai apayam mam manabipsamandam kupam budhiya paraduka duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasvayami Mancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindhu Bhayebhaja Patitanam Pabanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Bhajami Radham Aravinda Netram Smarami Radham Madurasmatasyam Vadami Radham Karuna Dharadram Tato Mama Yasti Gatir Nakapi Ha Devi Kakubara Kagadayadavacha Yachena Patya Bhuvadandavar Ubhatati Asya Prasaram Ubhadasya Janasya Kritva Gandharvake Tavagane Gananam Videhi Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Ghor Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Greetings from Visan Falls, that's just south of India, south of, excuse me, south of Albany. It's quite a difference, isn't there? And it's my place on the premises of Sachi Sutta and Kali Lalita. And I thought we would talk a little bit more of Srimati Radharani. And I'm sure perhaps in some of the temples they will also celebrate it today. So we'll speak something. It's nice in the we're reading the Krishna book, that chapter 30, Krishna hiding from the gopis, and in the Ramananda Samvad by Krishna Das, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the discussion, where Ramananda Roy wants to know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to know from Ramananda Roy, what is the topmost verse or the topmost shloka. And they have this comparative religion, and then they finally get up to the position of the gopis. He gives some verse about the gopis, and he begins to discuss it. And he gives kind of a kind of a conversation of Krishna, and basically Krishna is in the mood that the gopis have left everything. Their husbands, their children. They're the greatest renunciates, and therefore, when one takes sannyas, the mantra he gets that exhibits the highest renunciation is called the Gopi Baba mantra, because the gopis are the greatest renunciates. They gave up everything for Krishna. Immediately, they had so much love that as soon as they heard the transcendental flute of Krishna, and the flute, the nature, I was describing this, there are four qualities that distinguish Krishna, because Krishna means when that absolute reality is manifesting himself without inhibition, fully and intimate, and revealing himself in response to the love of his most dear devotees, the Brijbasis. So one of the four qualities of Krishna, the absolute reality and the full open-hearted manifestation of himself, is his flute playing. And I described that the nature of a, you know, like a jazz instrument or something, is if someone is using it to amplify his emotions. So Krishna uses the flute to amplify his emotions. But what are his emotions? What is in Krishna's heart? What's in Krishna's heart is the love of his devotees. So when he plays his flute, he expresses the love of his devotees. And when the devotees hear Krishna's flute, they hear specifically Krishna's love for them, and therefore Krishna calling them to be by his side. And when one gets the call of Krishna, because one has that desire in his heart, fully, prema. There's no other desire in his heart but the pleasure of Krishna. Of course, that's what Radharani means. She has Sarvakanti is her name. She has all desires. What desires? All Krishna's desires. That's what love is. Love means that you have so much love for someone that they open their heart and give you their desires. Or they reveal themselves fully so you know their desires. So the gopis, they heard the flute, and they came out to the forest, and Krishna was seeing them there. They gave up everything. In the middle of the night, for young, chaste girls, 5,000 years ago in India, they gave up everything. And Krishna was thinking, I'm going to be speaking the Bhagavad Gita, and in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm going to make this promise. Yay yata mam prapadyante tam stati vabhajamyaham mamavart manuvartante manushya partha sarvasa. I'm going to make the promise, as someone surrenders unto me, I reward them accordingly. But then Krishna was looking at the gopis. How can I reward you accordingly? I cannot repay you. I will have to break my promise. And then for Krishna says, Napadaye hum, I cannot repay you. You will be have to be satisfied with the love itself. So just see in the Ramananda Samvad how the exalted position of Srimati Radharani is presented of the gopis. But then, as we see later, Ramananda Roy is going to discuss, but what is greater than the gopis? It's Srimati Radharani. Because she has the full capacity to serve Krishna. And therefore, without her, Krishna cannot be satisfied even in the midst of all the gopis. And therefore, Ramananda Roy makes the startling point. Since Krishna's lusty desires were not satisfied even in the midst of hundreds and thousands of gopis who Krishna could not repay, their love was so strong. And he was thus searching after Srimati Radharani. We can easily imagine how transcendentally qualified Radharani is. Lord Krishna's desire in the Rasalila is perfectly complete, but Srimati Radharani is the binding link of that desire. So we were reading the Krishna book, where the gopis themselves, after Krishna left the Rasa dance, saw that they were searching for Krishna, and in their ecstatic madness, they were approaching every tree and every flower in Vrindavan and asking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Hey, Rad, hey, Vraja Deva, ke Chalalite, hey, Nandasu, no Kuta. Dear Tulsi, you are much beloved by Lord Krishna because your leaves are always at his lotus feet. Dear Malati flowers, dear Malaka flower, dear Jasmine flower, all of you must have been touched by Krishna when he was passing this way after giving us transcendental enjoyment. Have you seen Madhava passing this way? Oh, mango trees, oh, trees of jackfruit, oh, pear trees and asana trees, oh, blackberries and bale trees and trees of kadamba flower. You're all very pious. To be living on the bank of the Jamuna, Krishna must have passed through this way. Will you kindly let us know which way he has gone? The gopis then looked upon the ground. They would traverse and began to address the earth. Dear earth, please, we do not know how many penances and austerities you have undergone to be now living with the footprints of Lord Krishna. Hey, Rad, hey, Vraja Deva, ke Chalalite, hey, Nanda. So, then they were searching, but when they found the footprints of Srimati Radharani, then they stayed, and we just read that. How qualified she must have been. We must understand, therefore, that this particular gopi served Krishna with greater affectionate love than ourselves. Because of this, although he has left us, he could not leave her company. Aniya radito nunam bhagavan hariya ishvara yano vidaya govinda pritayam aniya radito. Another has not. Aniya radito has not worshipped as great. There's no other that has worshipped as great as you. Because Srimati Radharani is Krishna's potency, his internal potency. And the internal potency means what? Internal potency means what? Potency to fulfill Krishna's inner desire. That's what internal potency is. We all have energies, and through those energies we endeavor for particular things. And why do we use those energies? To please ourselves, to give us sensual pleasure, to give us intellectual pleasure. We have a Jnana Shakti. To give us physical pleasure, we have a Bala Shakti. But what is the inner pleasure of someone's heart? They want love. So the internal potency, the chief of the internal potency is the Ladini Shakti. The pleasure of what? The essence of the Ladini Shakti is Krishna Prem. And when Krishna Prem or love is heightened to the maximum degree, it is Mahabhav. And Srimati Radharani is Mahabhav Sarup. She is that Purna, that Sarup Shakti, the full capacity. And therefore, she expands herself. There's a question also asked, I believe, in Ramana, why so many gopis? Cannot Krishna just be satisfied with Radharani? But it explains that there's many expansions of Radharani. There's many expansions of her qualities. There are many gopis because numbers, what is it, exalt the height of Ras. And then we know, I think Skanda Purana mentions there's 16,108 chief gopis. Of those, 108 are prominent of those. They're the Astaka Sakis, and two are most prominent, Chandravali and Radharani. But Radharani is the full capacity to give Krishna pleasure. She knows the desires of Krishna because Krishna has opened his heart to her, and she has the full capacity to satisfy those desires. So nice to celebrate, and it's so important for our spiritual life. We have a very, very militantly pro-Radha sampradaya. We know that Prabhupada himself, that his father, Gaur Mohan Day, that was his prayer. Please, he beg every sadhu, let my son be a servant of Srimati Radharani. I found yesterday this quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur that expresses this. It's militancy in terms of tattva or philosophy, because we want to please Krishna. We want to please that absolute reality, and of our constitutional position is to serve that absolute reality, then we have to serve that absolute reality through the potency or shakti of that absolute reality, and that is Radha. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Radhastakam, the 8th verse, says, if your desire to serve Srimati Radharani does not come about. Does that sound familiar to anybody? If your desire to serve Srimati Radharani does not come about, then your so-called worship of Krishna is completely useless. Heavy, huh? Just as I never know the sun to be without the sunlight. How can you know the sun without the sunlight? So he says, so I do not regard Madhava without Radha. Let's see the mood. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then his Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, we read also, the only reason we have anything to do with Krishna is that Srimati Radharani loves him so much. And I just read, we were just from Prabhupada, just is so nice. Prabhupada arrives in the Jaladuta, and he has a mission to spread Krishna consciousness. And that mission, which is a manifestation of his own desire to increase the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, because he is their servant, he says to the people, He looks out on America and he talks to us and he says to us, so this is Prabhupada talking to us. He's looking out and he says to us, I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain, this is Prabhupada talking to you and me, I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. So this is our line, and it's such a deep subject, but we'll say something more too. And and of course that qualification has to be there, because this bhakti or devotion that we're seeking, it's a very soft thing, and our hearts are very rough. So yes, we should seek this, and we must become purified in heart so that we can keep these things in our heart. And therefore, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva Nasteva Gatira. This is the process. Taramadye Sarva Shresna Nama Sankirtan Nira Aparade Poya Paya Premadan. There are 9 processes of devotional service, but one can get that prema by chanting the holy name without offense. Kalair, Doshe, Nidhe, Rajan, Eko, Asti, Mahagunan, Kirtanadeva, Krishnasya, Mukta, Sangampa. At the very end of the Bhagavatam, that verse is there, that this age of Kali, we all see it's an ocean of faults. Prabhupada translated the age of quarrel and confusion. Isn't it so true? What is it described, just like in this age, just like the forest, how does a forest fire start? Just the wind is blowing and the trees may spark or scrape across each other, and unknowingly, from nothing, a huge blaze arises. The nature, kolo dosher and hey raja, it's like an ocean of faults. But kirtanadeva krishnas, what is it? Eko asti mahagunan, but there's one great quality. Kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangam param, but by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one could get liberation. Very nice, and part of the, I tried to honor Srimati Radharani by doing katha in various places. And yesterday morning, I had kirtan in New Jersey for just 2 hours. The process, just hearing kirtan. And actually, Nam, the holy name, everything is there in the holy name. This is my realization. There's nothing but Radha and Krishna. What exists besides Krishna and Krishna's energy? I was also thinking, I had a realization of our simultaneous insignificance and our simultaneous insignificance and significance. What is our insignificance? Our insignificance is that we are a particle of consciousness, of the Supreme Consciousness. It's infinitesimal. Because the Supreme Absolute Reality is all-pervading. And therefore, by nature being finite, we're just an insignificant part of that Absolute Reality. But what is our significance? Our significance is the Absolute Reality, or Krishna means consciousness of which nothing else is nothing is outside of. That's what the Absolute Reality, Advayam, consciousness of which nothing is outside of. Everything is unified within the Absolute Reality because everything is part of the Absolute Reality. So what is our tiny significance? Our significance is without us. Krishna is not the absolute reality, basically, in the sense that we're also part of that absolute reality. We're an integral part of that absolute reality. We're meant for his service. So everything is Krishna's and Krishna's energy. And this is the Maha Mantra. The Maha Mantra means what? It's non-different than that absolute reality. So everything is there. When we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and we're focused on that sound vibration, then what is there? We're there. The absolute reality is there. And our relationship is there of servant. The only in ignorance do we feel some lacking or need, because that absolute reality is the ultimate shelter, and shelter is where you, and that's what faith means. Faith means shelter, that this is where my needs are met. And the ultimate need is for the soul to feel unlimited love. And that unlimited love is experienced in relationship with the supreme ultimate object of love, of which we have a relationship. But anyway, the Maha Mantra, everything is there. Krishna is there. Radharani is there. And the Acharyas sometimes explain in a very, very intimate way how it includes everything. They explain that the first couplet, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, is Radha and Krishna together. And the second couplet, Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, is Radha and Krishna in separation. And if the ultimate reality is described in the Upanishads is rasa, or supreme loving feelings in relationship between the absolute reality and the energies of the absolute reality, that's what exists eternally. That's reality. And we're only separated from it by ignorance. We're not perceiving what is actually there. But that absolute reality, rasa, or intense love, it's described, Gaura Govindamaharaj explains it very beautifully, that for love to flow fully, with full force, it's like a river. And a river to flow forcefully, it must have two embankments. So for the river of prema to flow forcefully, it must have two embankments. It must have the embankment of union, and it must have the embankment of separation. Therefore, Hare Krishna, together, Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. And that's separation. And I forgot which Acharya explained it very nicely, that Krishna, Krishna is actually the heart of Radharani. In separation from Krishna, she's calling Krishna, Krishna, and Hare, Hare. We know, as Prabhupada taught us, that it's the Hare is the vocative form of Hara, which means the energy of the absolute truth, which is Radharani. Hara, the vocative is Hare. So Hare, Hare, that's Radharani's heart. That's Krishna's heart. He's calling for Radharani. And Prabhupada gave us such a nice, simple translation, and we should chant, thinking of the meaning of the mantra. It's both the Supreme Absolute Truth, and it's a prayer for the Supreme Absolute Truth. Because it's the names of Krishna, which are non-different from him, but it also has a meaning that's relevant to us. O Lord, Krishna, O energy of the Lord, Hare, please engage me in your service. O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. And therefore, Prabhupada says that Radharani, the symbol of the topmost bhakti, is so powerful that she has purchased Krishna. Therefore, Vaishnavas take shelter of the lotus feet of Radharani, for she recommends, oh, here is a nice devotee. Krishna must accept. So that is actually our goal. that by chanting the Maha Mantra sincerely and by serving the servants of Srimati Radharani, like Srila Prabhupada, who has dedicated his life to her glories, that by that sincere service, that sincerity of service and that sincerity of heart expressed through the chanting of the Maha Mantra and the service of the Maha Mantra to give that Maha Mantra to others, then we can get the compassion, attract the compassion of Srimati Radharani, who may say, one day, look at us and say to Krishna, oh, here is a nice devotee. And therefore, in the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada describes in very subtle ways our bhajan, our process of advancing. He says, but the devotee, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always prays to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. The devotee, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always prays to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. So she's the manifestation of Krishna's compassion. And she expands in so many wonderful ways. Nayana Manjari is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Siddha Sarup, his form in Krishna Leela. Nayana means the glance. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is an expansion of the merciful glance of Srimati Radharani, Rupa Manjari, a manifestation of the beauty of Srimati Radharani, and all the Astaka Sakis manifesting her different qualities for the pleasure of Krishna, the full capacity. And Radharani is also in charge of the kitchen. Such a meditation to cook for Krishna. Prabhupada, so merciful. He established Radhi, look at his service of Srimati Radharani. He established her deity in practically every major city of the world. And if we cook for Radharani, we cook for Krishna, under the guidance of Radharani, then it's an offering of love. And people who are really into cooking tell me the ecstatic devotional feelings one can experience when you're actually consciously trying to please Krishna by making things very nice. And we know that what's accepted is our love, but our love takes a form. Our love manifests in form. If you're cooking, then what you're cooking is a manifestation of your love. And if you're cooking it for Krishna with love, he will accept it. And then when people take the remnants and see the exquisite fine tastes, they'll understand that this was cooked with devotion. And this is Srimati Radharani. She's the most expert cook. The meditation for today should be Radharani sitting on a nice platform in Nandagram, where she comes to cook for Krishna every day. And she's sitting on that platform, and there's so many of her assistants there. They've cut up the different vegetables and they're preparing things. But it's Radharani that goes around and takes the turmeric in her hand and with devotion meditates on how much and puts it in. And it's the perfect amount, because love is the ultimate teacher. I give the example, what makes a good mother? Is it a PhD in child care, or is it a nurturing, loving heart? Who becomes more expert as a mother? So in the spiritual world, your love manifests into expertise, and also in this world, of course, by our karma, we have different proclivities, and therefore we may be engaged in different ways. But it is our love that will take those proclivities and develop them so that they can manifest objects of love and beauty and perfection and competence to serve Krishna. And even if the result doesn't come out, if the effort produces something for the pleasure of Krishna, then we'll attract the mercy of Srimati Radharani, and she will say, oh, to Krishna, oh, here is a very nice devotee. Look at his sincere effort to serve. And Radharani, therefore, has such exquisite qualities, which are all a composition of that love, because she's Mahabhav Sarup. She is the form of intense love. Even in the material world, when we want to serve someone, our love takes a certain shape. And that's how Srila Prabhupada trained his disciples. That love should have, you could see, love should take a certain shape. I'll give you an example. I tell this story. I saw Prabhupada come out of his room in Vrindavan, and he was offered this garland. It was the cheapest garland you can get in Vrindavan. There's these white flowers that don't have any fragrance. And you string them in it like a singular line. And not only that, the flowers were wilted and brown on the edges. And not only that, they had offered those garlands to the deities. And when Prabhupada, it was given to Prabhupada, he looked at that garland with distaste. And then he called, especially the ladies in the project, and he taught them how to make garlands. Because he could see that when you have love, then you use your talents and competencies to produce very beautiful things for the pleasure of Krishna. So you can imagine the form of the objects and qualities of Srimati Radharani for the pleasure of Krishna, because she is the supreme intense love. In fact, it's mentioned in the Ujjvala Nilamani that Radharani is a scholar in the art of garland making. So can you imagine what the Vaijayanti Mala, the five different forest flowers put together in a point that's hanging down to the knees of Krishna? What that garland, how lovingly it was made, how lovingly it looks, how Krishna accepts that garland, and therefore it's not different from Srimati Radharani, and how beautiful it must be. And Radharani's form, and it is golden in color, molten golden, like the color of a field of fresh mustard flowers. And it mentions in the Ujjvala Nilamani that her luster is so beautiful that it puts gold in a painful situation. And she's also expert and witty in her exchanges and retorts. That she can even in argument, not scholarly argument, but with witty argument, she can even defeat Krishna or even Brihaspati. So her qualities and her color, everything is the full manifestation of love. And she's Sarvakanti. She has Krishna's desires. And therefore, she can please Krishna. And in Guru Parampara, her desires come. And when we take the desires of the Guru Parampara and the servants of Srimati Radharani, if we take those desires into our hearts and we serve those desires to assist the people that are holding those desires, then we are becoming nice devotees, and Srimati Radharani will say to Krishna, as Prabhupada said, here is such a nice devotee, and Krishna must accept. So this is just saying some little something, but I feel like talking more, but we will stop for now and ask, are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Bo Gail.
I do have a question.
Go ahead.
We understand that devotees are so humble that they see all other devotees as serving Krishna better.
Yeah.
And, you know, devotees are, that is their essence, their humility.
Yeah.
So I don't understand, actually, the pride of the gopis and Radharani, that pride that made Krishna run away.
Yeah, of course, it's not false ego. False ego means I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. And there's of course, I'm talking from this platform and trying to explain that platform, but we do know from the acharyas that whatever it is that pleases Krishna, the gopis will spontaneously manifest. And therefore, their qualities are so transcendental that they appear to be contradictory. And there's one verse that I'm not sure where it comes from. It says, all glories to Radha's love. Although it is all-pervading, it increases at every moment. And although that love is all pure, it is beset with duplicity. And although it's all important, it's devoid of pride. So it's just at another dimension. Just like they have man or anger when Krishna is with someone else. But it's more or less, it's just a manifestation of their deep love. And they act as ashraya. Ashraya means they are the shelter or subject of love. Their hearts are like vessels, and that love flows in various ways. But ultimately, it's not a kind of material pride. It's just like they have embraces of Krishna and all kinds of conjugal type actions. But those actions are in the consciousness, let Krishna be pleased by this. So certainly it's not material, because they're just, actually it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's the beauty of them, that constitutionally there's no pride, that everything they're doing is to please Krishna completely. That's their desire. They don't want to be great within themselves. So it's actually just a symptom of some type of ecstasy. It's kind of like there's one symptom, Vyabhachari Bhav, one of the symptoms of ecstasy. Transformations that come to the heart is mrityu. It means death. So what is the ecstasy of death? Of course, they don't die, but they want to. And why do they want to die? Because perhaps they're in separation from Krishna. Govindava, in your absence, the whole world looks vacant. So it's not a material thing. But I guess it has that kind of form, and it adds to the lila, and it gives Krishna pleasure, and it also gives us instructions, something like that.
I wonder how their expression of pride actually gave him pleasure. What was it about that expression?
It's just the exchange of love in romance, in that spiritual romance. There's some kind of exchange. I can't understand his mind. Maybe this is a little too high for me, but I think. I guess these are the kind of dealings that just increase love. One of the parties withdraws, and then mostly it's actually Radharani that gets angry at Krishna, and then Krishna can't even see her. So it all increases the affection and love, just like the separation and union. So the exhibition of pride may be there or something like that, and then Krishna backs away, then they start to lament in relationship to Krishna. everything is related to increasing the devotion or love, so that it comes to the height of perfection, which is called rasa. Rasa means that when love is at its height, and for love to be at its height, there must be a churning of various emotions. So if you look at the pastimes of Krishna, you always see there's fear, there's anger, there's all sorts of things. But if you actually study it closely, you'll see they're all born of love for Krishna, and they increase Krishna's love, their love for Krishna. It's described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's like an ocean, and waves come from the ocean, and they increase the ocean, and they go back into the ocean. So the ocean is their love for Krishna. And then there's these different emotions that come from it, like lamentation and fear and near death and so many things. And they're churned by the pastimes. And like waves, they seem to heighten the ocean. So this is the nature of the spiritual world. Because it's rasa. Rasa, it's ultimately, there's an absolute reality, and the absolute reality wants to enjoy. But when you say he wants to enjoy, it's not a historical phenomenon, because there's not even time in that realm. But somehow or other, that desire is understood by us. It wants, therefore it's eternally there. And therefore it's eternally churning with lila or pastimes to keep the rasa, the feelings of love, at the highest platform. Yeah, that's the best I can do right now.
I think that was very good. That was excellent. I had the same question, actually. This is on the MMI.
Oh.
And this is an excellent, excellent description of the answer. I wrote some of it down. I hope I can do
it. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
I will. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Rasparan Das.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Indranath Das, thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I was just there in Albany. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Very good. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Nityaseva.
Nityaseva, are you back now?
Yep, I am back.
Okay.
Since Tuesday.
What's that?
Since Tuesday.
Since Tuesday, and you waited all the way till Sunday to call me.
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I'll write you soon. I can call you if you have time. I don't know if you do.
After this. Thank you.
Okay.
Good. Hare Krishna, anybody else like to say that? Say anything?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's this?
Shastra Das.
Shastra. Very good, huh? You got some more. Radhastami. Very good. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else? Okay. We will. Okay. We'll end now then. Vanchakopa Tarubyas Kipasindubi Vichapati Tanam Pavan.
Voice of the Indian woman.